encouraged by the hymn and the prayer, I would like to deliver a message on the Lord's guidance in our personal lives. First of all, I'd like to read to us again the first verse of the hymn. Savior, lead us by thy power, safe into the promised rest. Choose the path, the way, whatever seems to thee, O Lord, the best. Be our guide in every peril, watch and keep us night and day, else our foolish hearts will wander from the straight and narrow way. In another ministry the other night, we were challenged by a question, which was in particular directed to the young folks. Does the Lord Jesus speak to me personally? Well, you may wonder, as a young Christian, is this really necessary? I mean, I have the Bible, and I believe it's not simply a book, I believe it's the book. And I'm convinced that this is the authority, or it has the authority over my life. And I read the Bible on a daily basis. I read the commandments of the Lord, and I try to follow them as good as I can. Isn't that enough? Why, in addition to that, would I need to hear the Lord's voice in my heart? This message tonight will try to give an answer to that question. We first turn to Genesis chapter 12. Verse 1. And Jehovah had said to Abram, go out of thy land, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, to the land that I will show thee. I will make of thee a great nation, and bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Far. Well, actually, message tonight, continuation message from Wednesday. I'm able to deliver the whole message because of lack of time. If you remember, we contemplated in the 13, the strife between shepherds of Abraham and Lot, seeing the behavior of Abraham. So Abraham was a man with heavenly perspective, and that actually kept him from living a selfish life. Lot was a man with an earthly perspective, forced him to live a selfish life. So we may wonder, what's the difference between the two? This is the verse we read. Was a man with a calling, Lot wasn't. I just want you to remember what we found about the heavenly perspective, how it operates. It operates in a spirit of meekness and gentleness. It gives way to others, not claiming its own rights. Then we may wonder how to get a heavenly perspective. And I would sum it that way. I get a heavenly perspective by receiving a calling from God that reveals his purpose for my life here on earth and the corresponding reward in heaven. This we try to find in the verses we read. Genesis 12, verse 1. And Jehovah said to Abraham, go out of thy land and from thy kindred and from thy father's house to the land that I will show thee. In this verse, the purpose for Abraham's life here on earth. This is one important thing. Everyone, like Abraham, the purpose of our lives. We read on, and I will make thee a great nation, and bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and so on. This I called the corresponding reward in heaven. A careful reader may point out, well, actually, you made a mistake, because if you read on, you will find this is not the corresponding reward in heaven. Here is promised a corresponding reward on earth. Well, don't be too quick in judging me. This morning we heard that there were times when the canon of Scripture wasn't complete yet. Over. The canon of Scripture is complete. So if we want to know the truth about a matter, we need to have the full perspective. And in regard to Abraham, to get the full picture, we need to turn to Hebrews 11, where we get additional information in regard to the calling of Abraham. Hebrews chapter 11. I read from verse 8. By faith Abraham, being called, obeyed to go out into the place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he sojourned as a stranger in the land of promise, as a foreign country, having dwelt in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him, of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, of which God is the artificer and constructor. By faith also Sarah herself received strength for the conception of seed, and that beyond a seasonable age, since she counted him faithful who promised. Wherefore also they have been born of one, and that of one become dead, even as the stars of heaven in multitude, and as the countless sand which is by the seashore. All these died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them from afar off and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and sojourners on the earth. For they who say such things show clearly that they seek their country. And if they had called to mind that from whence they went out, they had had opportunity to have returned. And now pay attention. And now they seek a better that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed of them to be called their God. For he has prepared for them a city. It was a rather lengthy passage, but I think two things we gathered. He was looking for a city that is a heavenly city, heavenly Jerusalem, and for a heavenly country. So I would say it also fits in his case, in his calling. So I say that again. How we get a heavenly perspective? We get it by receiving a calling from God that reveals his purpose for my life here on earth and the corresponding reward in heaven. And to get the connection with the message from Wednesday again, let's read from Mark 10 to see the same two elements. The Gospel of Mark chapter 10. Verse 21, and Jesus, looking upon him, loved him, and said to him, one thing lackest thou, go sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me, taking up the cross. So I would suggest the tense of this verse. First, a specific commission from the Lord. What is that, in this case, for the young man? Go, sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor. The second element was the corresponding reward in heaven. We find it in the same verse, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And to stress that, for every one of us, I have to say that over the years I have observed that brothers and sisters who never detected the Lord's purpose and calling for their individual lives sooner or later became earthly minded and they followed the bad example of Lot. And I can tell you, it wasn't to their true advantage. So the big question now is, how do I receive the calling of God for my life? My answer, in simple words, is in hearing the Lord's voice in my heart. Well, and let's complete. We are back at the point where we say, thus the Lord Jesus to me personally. And understand the vital importance of this issue. We may. How do I perceive the Lord's voice in my life? God. Well, first of all, I'd like to show us the principle. We find it in 1 Corinthians. Principle, how to hear the Lord's voice in my heart. Corinthians chapter 2. We read from verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he cannot know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But the spiritual discerns all things, and he is discerned of no one. For who has the mind of the Lord? Who shall instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So what I gather from this is, by way of application, we need the mind of Christ to properly understand the voice of Christ. Then the question arises, the next question, what is the mind of Christ? And what are the characteristics of the mind of Christ? And I don't want to give you the full scope on that, but rather I would like an object lesson in the Old Testament from the book of Esther. So let's turn to Esther. Just to give you some background information to this particular book. It really is a particular book. The time depicted in this book are very dark days for the people of God, for Israel. Because in this book, you won't even find the name Jehovah. What does it mean? The name Jehovah indicates the covenant relationship between God and his people. It's not mentioned. It's really dark days. But there was someone who in these dark days could discern the will of the Lord in the particular circumstances that person was in. And this is Esther. And I will try to show us the secret, how in this dark days she was able to do it. And don't we have to confess that somehow we live in dark days? And if we understand this secret, how she did it in her times. So if we read from chapter 2. Esther, chapter 2, verse 15. The turn of Esther of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, came to go into the king. She required nothing but what Hegai, the king's chamberlain, keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained grace in the sight of all them that saw her. In this verse, in the behavior of Esther, we find a spirit temperance or frugality. That means Esther was content with her appointed portion, and she didn't crave for more. I consider that to be a feature, a characteristic feature of the mind of Christ, and very helpful to be sensitive to hear his voice. But that's not all. In verse 20 of the same chapter, we read, Esther, as Mordecai had charged her, had not yet made known her birth, nor her people. For Esther did what Mordecai told her, like as when she was brought up with him. I'd like to read that again. For Esther did what Mordecai told her, like as when she was brought up with him. Actually, I would suggest, here we find the key to it all. And the key in my words is, a spiritual mission to God-given authority in my life. I say it again. A spirit of submission to God-given authorities, there's not just one, in my life. Now, of course, I could give examples of what God-given authorities are. It starts with the parents, teachers at school, bosses at work, elders in the meetings, God-given authorities. But actually, I would like to say more and leave you with that and with Esther's example. And one day, there will come the day of crisis. It came in Esther's life, and I foretell you, it will come in everyone's life of us too. So let's see what happened to Esther. We turn to chapter 4. Read from verse 13. And Mordecai bade to answer Esther, imagine not in thy heart that thou escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holds thy peace at this time, then shall arise from relief and deliverance to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall perish. And who knows whether thou art not come kingdom for such a time as this. And Esther bade to answer Mordecai, go, gather together all the Jews that are found in Shushan, and fast for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not, and if I perish, I perish. And Mordecai went his way and did according to what had commanded him. As we probably all know, the people of God, the Jews, were in imminent danger. They were all to be killed. And they would escape. That was a time of crisis. For Esther was brought by the providence of God into a very special position where she actually could help the people of God. But only under the peril of her own life. But in regard, which was, how do I detect, how do I perceive the voice of the Lord in my heart? I would like to point out the following. When the time of crisis arrives, something additional, the spirit of submission that we found before with her, and the spirit of temperance is needed. And that is fasting. And it's not mentioned here, but I suppose accompanied by prayer, but it's just a suggestion. We read here fasting, so we stick to the fasting. But that isn't all. Actually, we find another key here in these verses. and a key that is not so easy to accept, I think. We find with Esther a nation to do the will of the Lord at whatever cost necessary. Where do we see that? It's at the end of verse 16. And so will I go in unto the king under the peril of death, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So I'd like to say that it's a determination to do the will of the Lord at whatever cost necessary. This is the final thought of the message. I'd just like to say, it's often said in the last days. If it is true, here's your challenge that I see. In the last days, there will be the true believers to be willing to do the will of the Lord at whatever cost. May the Lord help us to do His will.